Welcome to the I'm Not a Barista podcast. We're here to talk about all things coffee, from industry careers, brewing tips, community support, and more, with some really incredible people who love coffee as much as you do. We hope their stories inspire you, because humanity runs on coffee, and together, we can empower all the people behind every cup.
Welcome to I'm Not a Barista podcast. I am your host, Mickey. Today, we're journeying into the heart of the Chinese coffee scene with Jeremy Zhang, the founder of M2M, one of the largest roasteries in China, roasting thousands of tons of green beans each year. The Chinese coffee market remains an enigma to many. So grab your mug and let's explore the rich tapestry of China's burgeoning coffee culture with Jeremy.
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm really well, a little bit busy and traveling around because my family is based in Shenzhen, but our office is based in Nanjing, so just come back and forth quite a lot of time.
Yeah, I took a train from Beijing to Nanjing this morning, 7 a.m. train. It's a little bit tiring, yes.
First, yeah. I want to say thank you for accepting this request to join us for this episode. You're the first business owner from China join us. We are very interested in knowing like the coffee world in China. It was great to meet you in Shanghai Hotel Lights. And I didn't know that you were the founder or the owner of M2M, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So you started this whole brand yourself, right?
Yeah. And in beginning, I started all this brand by myself back to 2014. But if you want to trace back to my coffee career, it actually started from Melbourne, I would say around 2008. I think that time was like probably the best time in Melbourne because that time Melbourne was considered as like probably one of the best cities for the specialty coffee.
Actually, I tried your coffee before I met you.
Some
local barista suggest me to try the coffee. We moved to China in February this year.
Yeah.
For a project, and we have tried so many different kinds of coffee in China, different regions, Yunnan, and different roasteries. And at some point, we got disappointed because we couldn't find the coffee we like. And then someone said, "Mickey, you have to try this brand, M2M." Like, okay, let's give it a try. And then after, we just keep buying coffee from you.
Thank you.
We like your coffee.
I appreciate it.
So for our audience, I guess we don't know much about the coffee roasting business in China.
Good.
It'd be very interesting to know more about this world from you as owner. I've been in this business for years.
Good.
And apparently you're running your business very successfully. Great job.
Okay.
But first, tell us about yourself. How did you end up the coffee business?
It's long and interesting story, but I can keep it short. So in beginning, actually, I spent a bit of time in Australia for around 12 years. So in beginning, I started as like, I started from high school at university. And then I found my graduate program after graduation. So at that time, probably I didn't know much about the coffee. And at that time, around 2007, 2008. But then 2009, 2010 was a very interesting time because specialty coffee started to boom in Melbourne. I was based in Melbourne. So I met a lot of coffee professionals, young coffee professionals. They just so into the coffee. And when I went to the coffee shop, they just want to share some coffee they never tried it before, some interesting flavors. So I think at that time, I was so fascinated because it's not just about coffee and pick up your curiosity. And that was very fun and interesting. But also, you can meet a lot of people. They are so genuine and so pure. They just love coffee. So at that beginning, I got like a hunch, maybe I can end up in coffee industry. So I started to take some lessons. So some lessons at some course. I met some really good teachers, and I'm still in touch with those people in Melbourne. So later on, then I started getting some experiences, and then I'm thinking, well, I can improve. So one of my coach told me, look, the best way to learn it probably is competition, because competition is kind of like an intense way to gain knowledge, not just about extraction, also roasting and etc. So Now, I got two ideas. Firstly, I probably can prepare competition, even though I don't have much barista background. The second thing is I might consider doing coffee business in China. So that was around 2010, 2011. So I spent probably much 2 years to prepare for the competition. But and then I started my first competition in 2012. And that was a regional. Because in China, I'm not sure you know that barista championship in China is very different. Because very, very long campaign. Because we're a big city, it's difficult to get a visa for any other countries. So first year is a regional competition. Second year is national. If you win the national, you will prepare the competition next year. So in total, if you want to finish the one round, it pretty much takes 3 years. So in 2012, it was my first competition. And I won the regional competition, Nanjing region. And then competed in 2013. And I was number three. It was not too bad as the first time to compete. And then I just realized somehow I think I know how to compete. I think I might be not too bad at doing that. So, and I competed again in 2014. And I won the barista championship. And then I competed in 2015 in Seattle. But honestly, I didn't do so well. So I think I would probably give me a second chance. So back to 2014, I started my coffee business in China, in Nanjing, and two entities. The one is M2M, as you know. The second one is called UniUnit. UniUnit is like a coffee shop-based business. Yeah. So that's how I started, yeah.
Wow. You chose the hard way, right?
I think I chose the hard way back to that time, but now I just realized I was quite lucky. I'm not trying to be humble, but that's just what it is. Because firstly, I witnessed how specialty coffee grow in Australia. So you can get a pretty much idea what going to be look like in China. The second thing is probably that was the best timing for me to prepare for my coffee business because it's just like a ride before the dawn of a specialty coffee boom in China. So I think 2010 to 2012 was the best time. Not too much competition and not many people know about the coffee. You can have enough time to build up a foundation of your business, what your business required. So I have to say, barista championship was not easy, but it's relatively easier you start a bit early stage. So now you can gain your resource other people do not, and to prepare for that. And then you can do the roasting business, you can do the coffee shop business, even though that at that time it was quite difficult to promote specialty coffee in China. But I do believe that at that time also, it's probably the best time to get ready for the boom. So I think I consider myself quite lucky, yeah.
I think you sound like a man with a plan. Back many years ago, you already have an idea. I need to compete. I could start a business.
Yeah, I think yes and no. Because first of all, if you are purely logic, I don't think you can predict what a coffee business would be in China back to 10 years ago. So I think I know something, but I also believe something. I think you need to have both. Yeah. If you're purely logic, everyone think in China at that time thinking, what the hell are you doing? You know, coffee sounds like so fancy in China. It's kind of lifestyle, but you're not going to make any money. Even some baristas who won the championship in the past told me, look, Jeremy, what's the point to compete? Because even I won, I still get pretty much a similar salary as before. So you probably still can't afford to buy a house, buy whatever. So barista is still very low level job. So what really can be changed? I don't know at the time, to be honest. So yes, I do have a plan, but you always need to know that could be happening. You need to believe that. For example, we are one of the first companies started selling geisha online. At that time, people believe that way too expensive. You cannot just do that business. Normal people wouldn't appreciate this type of coffee, but we did it. Actually, that was not a plan. I think if that's something really good, you truly believe, You should try at least. So, yeah, as I mentioned, you have to believe and know at the same time. Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah.
what do you think is the key to your success?
I think the most important thing, especially for young people, you have to enjoy and love what you are doing. So the reason you participate these you want to join this career, you just truly love it. So, you know, if for competition, you love coffee, you love specialty coffee, you want to be the coffee professional, but it doesn't mean everything you do is interesting. So you have to get in yourself into it. I think that's the most important part. Because the way you meet the obstacles, you meet the challenges, you want to see, do something you don't want to do, but you look at the goal and the dream you want to achieve, so you still do it with a passion.
You're a good public speaker.
Thank you.
I don't know how do you train your employees, but definitely you're a very good influencer and you're good at really sharing your ideas. It's very convincing. Wow, what a story, really.
Yeah, thank you.
So you mentioned that you need to love what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Talking about this, what has been the most challenging thing in your business?
I think depend on which stage. I can give you two examples. I believe these two stages are probably the most challenging. The first one is at the very beginning. So because, yes, I know I want to do specialty coffee business. But at that time, you know, back to 2010, 2011, you would consider your coffee shop so successful if you can sell more than 100 cups nationwide. So at that time, a lot of people also telling you that coffee is a coffee. There won't be much difference. You just want to make a fancy story on some expensive coffee and you want to sell expensive. So at that time, you really need to know how you can educate your customers and be patient to let the people appreciate the coffee. So you need to be patient as well. So the reason we call our roasting brand M2M, so made to measure, what happened was we need to do both jobs. Job number one, you need to meet customer demand, know what they want, of course. And the second thing is, you know, most of the people do not know what's going on in specialty coffee world. You need to guide them. So we need to do two things. So on the one hand, we want to make business sustainable. So we need to find some coffee that is really good value for money. On the other hand, you do need to share some coffee they do not know. So that's probably most challenging part. And we didn't expect anything. We just want to keep company survival. And we'll see how it grows. And luckily, that was probably the good time because the coffee consumption, I think it's about 30% annual growth rate. So we can penetrate the market at a much, much faster pace. So that's the first thing. And the last thing, the second story I want to share with you is now, I think now is probably the most challenging part. It's pretty much we end up in the opposite direction. It's like now people start to enjoy the coffee and a lot of people start to drink coffee on a daily basis. So now they consider coffee not just for lifestyle. They just need caffeine to let them stay awake. So on the other hand, our company is growing quite a lot. And now we're pretty much doing 80 to 100 tons per month. So on one hand, you need to meet volume. But on the other hand, I do have concerns because it looks like a worldwide. So when a company, especially a coffee company, from small to big, you lose your niche and you start to be very generic. So we don't want that to happen because it's not just about like cash flow. It's just about if you go too generic, everything is dark roasted. And even though Ethiopian coffee, in order to make quality control consistent, it's the best way to make coffee with a lot of caramelization flavors. So that's probably most challenging part. So on one hand, we need to keep our company the reasonable size. On the other hand, we try to focus on the specialty coffee as much as before. So now we are still facing this challenging, and I think we figure out some way to do it. And let's see.
All right. So you said you roast about 80 to 100 tons. That's the volume
per month.
And how big is that in China?
I think in terms of specialty coffee, we are relatively big. But compared to like giant roasteries, I think we are still small. So I think some other very big roasting companies, they do a lot of OEM for like a chain coffee shops. They can do pretty much 10,000 tons. and they can do that in a very cost-effective way. It's a huge roaster, and so it's like 600 kilogram roaster as a size of loading. So they can do that very efficiently. So we kind of like, okay, in a good way, we still do specialty coffee. We have a lot of SKUs. But on the other hand, if we compete with the cost efficiency, we don't have any advantage for now because you have more labor cost. Because we, the biggest roasters is 35 kilogram Lorraine compared to 600 kilogram, the humongous the roaster, you're not going to make a lot of efficiencies for that. But I want to say we are in the middle ground, but it's pretty much, rather than saying that, it's more, we are like a crossroad. How can we manage specialty coffee and how can we keep up the size with the consistent quality? We need to do a lot of changes. So for example, roasters used to be responsible for production, but now roasters is responsible for roaster profile. So you need like some professionals to dealing with the factory rather than as roasters are doing that. So ERP system should be more sophisticated, etc. So and it's big. It's a very, very big task. We are still going through that. I think maybe in 1 or 2 years, we can get a fair idea how we're going to keep our coffee volume at a reasonable size. In the meantime, we still can introduce a different type of coffee that that customers never tried before.
Wow, sounds very challenging, right?
Indeed. Yeah.
How big is your team? Like, you are the founder, and then how many employees do you have?
If you're including all the online sales team and also the employees at the factory, in total, probably around 40. We are around 40 because we have a reasonable size of online sales teams because we're doing the Taobao, Jingdong, and all these online shops. Mm-hmm. And also, our factories are upgrading them. So for now, it still requires a lot of labor works, like a packaging. So it takes probably 10 to 15 people to do the packaging. But we don't have many roasters because roasters are now responsible for roaster profile, selecting green coffee, sourcing green coffee. So he is the one to be responsible for that. And then quality assurance people, there are two people to make sure the coffee is up to standard of the so we try to set a standard between quality assurance people and also roaster. So once they meet the standard, so you need to use this standard as against the coffee they produced. So yeah, around 40 people.
Since we have tried so many brands in China already, coffee brands, we have to say that M2M is pretty much like international brand, and everything you do from design, coffee roasting, profile packaging, they look very, very good and very different from the rest of the competitors we see in the market. So how do you reach this step? What makes your brand so special? I mean, what is the motivation you want to you're trying to do to make so different?
I think because just like what the M2M the name suggests for we do analysis a lot of consumers' behavior, and we monitor the way how they respond to the picture of the product and how the feedback that they're giving us. But we also pay attention to some coffee some new coffee we never tried before. So we evaluate that coffee, and we think, okay, that's interesting. Maybe that coffee was not something like a geisha. You know, if you sell geisha, people wouldn't pay the premium for that. But some new coffee varieties like a Sidra and also like a Sudan Rumé, this coffee probably was not that fancy as a geisha. But the cost of green coffee is pretty much the same. So we are willing to take that risk, but we wouldn't buy that high a lot to, we can start to try to see how we respond. And so I think that part we're doing quite well. We are kind of like, we still keep a certain flexibility. We not just listen to the marketing team or sales team. We also, coffee professional can put their own value into the products. I think that's the first thing that's very important. The second thing is, because of competition, because of world coffee events, knowledge always evolves all the time. So even though I competed and I was 2-time barista champion, I still kept the probably highest ranking in WBC China don't do really well. Obviously, I have to admit. We still keep learning, and we have our own training team, as led by Du Jianing. She was a world brewer champion of 2019. So even she was a world champion, we still keep learning things. And she just came back from Malaysia, tried the Library Cup, and this coffee with the new processing can be the maybe one of the solutions for the climate change, something like that. So we try to keep finding new things and then try to develop and research to get the product that might be for the customer in the future. So we can spend quite a lot of resources on that. So that probably is one of the key reasons we are a little bit different from other competitors.
Right. It sounds like you're doing a lot of pioneering jobs there, doing research, sending your team overseas, and take a look at what's really happening in the coffee world. And tell us more about the coffee community that you know, or let's say the coffee market in China. What's everybody else doing? Are they doing the same?
I think everyone have a different idea about the market, and but I have to say, even though we there are some competitors, but some of them, actually quite a lot of them, are really friends of us. So because we pretty much from small to big, and we're growing pretty much the same time. Yeah, there's a lot of competition. For example, you must heard about Captain George, now the owner, owner George Penn. He was number 5 in the World Brewers Cup. Actually, honestly, we are very close competitors, but we're also very good friends. When Jianing do compete for the world, and George helped her quite a lot, and now Jianing also helped him in Athens. So because we grew up together, so it's more like I can feel you when you face the challenges. Because if we got some complaints from our customers, we can't understand. We're not like, okay, just, you know, you got a bad feedback, I'm better than you. We never think that way, because it's kind of like a mutual understanding through the time. So this community is relatively healthier. So we are willing to share some ideas about roasting competition and extraction. So I can name quite a few. For example, George Tai mentioned, and also Coffee Buff. And so there's relatively new roaster, and also Fisher from Qingdao. So we know them for a long time. So it doesn't really matter from time to time, they outperform us, or we outperform them. So it's okay. In general, I think we are in a very healthy competition environment, and to let everyone grow. Yeah,
that's good to know.
But it's worthwhile to mention that back to 10 years ago, if you look at coffee shops, a lot of them actually using coffee from import, like Billy Labada. But now, as you are in China, I think 95% of coffee shops, they're using the local roasters, or they roast on their own. So that's a big change, because this kind of switch let all the local roasters gain the profit and the market share over the time. So I think that's also one of the reasons everyone's quite happy.
It's great. It's great to know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the price. The coffee price here in China. What do you think if you compare with other, let's say, America or in Europe?
I think because I used to live in Australia, and so I can get a fair idea what price like in Australia. But I think for blend, I think it's pretty much the same. Because for example, Australian is probably $25 to $35 Australian dollars per kilo. We probably can do a bit lower, about 100 yuan. 100 yuan probably is like a benchmark. So most of coffee shops use that roasted coffee at wholesale price at this level. Did you just realize in China, most of specialty coffee shops, they have at least 2 grinders for espresso. So the first espresso grinder is for blend. That's probably the cheapest of coffee, and around 100 yuan. But the second grinder, normally they choose coffee maybe from Yunnan, maybe from Ethiopia G1, Ethiopia G2. So price range can be from, I would say, 160 yuan all the way to 300 yuan. So it depends on what coffee shop they're looking for. Yeah.
All right. Very interesting.
Yeah. Our products pretty much fall into this range for the mainstream coffee. So that contribute about 90% of the sales in terms of volume. Yes.
All right. As the most important person in your company, What is your daily life like?
I think for me, it requires a lot of troubles because for competition, for example, we went to Athens after COVID and also went to Colombia to do some coffee sourcing. Yeah, I'm busy, but I'm also kind of flexible. But also some of my business partner is responsible for production. And because we are now upgrading our new factory, so he also is responsible for construction of the new factory and the sourcing some equipment, etc. And for me, I think I'm kind of flexible because I'm more focused on product quality and green coffee sourcing. And also, I also need to gain some knowledge and to help people to compete. So that's pretty much what I do. By the way, I just came back from Yingchuan. Yingchuan, actually probably there's one of the probably best dairy farm in China. They have some new technology, so they have using the different the filtering system to break down the fat protein and lactose. So they can reform with different ratio up depend on what the milk you're looking for. So yeah, so it's some new knowledge you can learn. It's fascinating. So it's pretty much what I do. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like you're very busy traveling around the world and looking for new things.
Yeah, because also my family is based in Shenzhen, so that requires another type of travel. Yeah.
All right, talking about your family time, like how do you balance your busy work and the family? How often do you meet them?
Yeah, I think because they are based in Shenzhen, I think because my wife and my kid live in Shenzhen, and it's about 2 hours flight between Nanjing to Shenzhen. I think the last 2 years it would be really challenging because, you know, it travels quite tricky because of COVID. But normally I would travel over 2 or 3 times a month. So come back and forth. I think the most important part is not about the statistics. Also, you have to be in Shenzhen at least 3 times a month or 4 times a month. It's more about you should let your family know you are willing to spend time with them once you have time. So that attitude probably is the most important part. It's not like a treat, okay, because I make money. Because I think typical Asian is like, men need to make money, so women need to take care of family. So now you can't do like, because if you do that, it's more like agreement. But you should, I think rather than agreement, it should be mutual understanding. And you really need to have a really good attitude for your family. I think that's the most important part.
Right, since you have some good advices for youngsters there. As a business owner, entrepreneur, and coffee professionals you competed before, through all these years, is there any words or message you want to say to the young baristas, young roasters, or young coffee professionals who is currently planning to start their own roasting business today or next month?
Okay, I think probably let's break down two parts. The first part is if you want to go into coffee career, and second part whether you want to do coffee business on your own. I think that these two questions are totally different. The first one, because you are so young, you're really into the coffee, just try it and just try to prove you are right or you are wrong. So do your best. Do what, as I mentioned earlier, do what you love. So you should dedicate into it 100%. And then you can see whether it's what you want. If it's not what you want, it's still okay because you're still young. At least you know that's not your thing. You can try to find something else. But during the time of selection, just need to do your best to make sure you have passion for it. I think that's the most important part. That's the ticking boxes. And if you tick that, just go for it. The second thing is about doing coffee business. And I think now, if you want to do coffee business, you do need to have a plan. You need to not just know about the coffee. You should know how to run a business. What the criteria you need for running the business, what risk you are willing to take. It's not just about whether you love it or not. It's also about the experience dealing with people, not just coffee. So plan ahead to make sure it's going to happen. And make sure you have an exit point at under somewhat circumstances. So I encourage people start to learn coffee, then start to consider yourself whether you are suited for business or not. I think, yeah, that's two steps.
Great tips. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. Because you mentioned opinion upon like a coffee, and you actually mentioned about the infusion coffee. I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think somehow, I think it's very kind of sensitive question. I'm not sure. I think different people have different opinions, but I think I'm happy. I'm willing to share my opinion on infusion coffee, but I don't want to just do a lot of political correctness bullshits. Oh, it's okay to do infusion coffee. At least you tell the people what it is. Okay. But I think now at this stage, we are somehow, especially coffee, I think now we're up to some certain point. We need to review the whole process of selecting specialty coffee. Because look, the reason we choose a specialty coffee, yeah, maybe because it's 80 points above, or maybe they have a terroir orange and characteristics. That's the whole reason we do this business. The whole reason we love this business. But now, I think the biggest challenging is it's not traceable and it's not detectable. So when it's infused coffee and people won't admit it, and also it's difficult for people to find a way to prove it's or not. If there's no standard, so it's very difficult to justify it. So now when you come to the competition, and I think that's what would probably the biggest challenging for WC to confront it, to face it. And the second thing is, yeah, I know now there's some new technology, at least some people claim that we can develop some certain yeast to produce some certain flavors. So that's another point I would like to address, because if we can add yeast to create certain flavors, my challenge is just because it's a fruitiness, it's a fruity flavors, does it mean it's a specialty coffee? Because no matter what the coffee you are having, as long as you leave this yeast into this coffee, you can get a blueberry, you can get a blackberry. Is it orange characteristics? So that probably brought me a second question. So given current technology and processing, yes, we can interfere the process, fermentation process to produce some certain flavors precisely as we want. But does it really mean it's a showcase orange and characteristics? Does it really bring the enjoyment for consumers? I can't answer that, but times will tell.
All right, since you mentioned I didn't want to bring this topic because, you know, it's a...
It's a better show, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to touch someone's wallet, right? We talk about infused coffee. And as you also mentioned, that it's very difficult to measure, to detect those, what is infused, what is not.
Anyway.
For customers, I guess it takes two world champions to figure out what is infused coffee or not. For regular brewers at home, I think it's very, very challenging task. And to be honest, we came across many infused coffee, and we asked questions to the roasters. Is this infused coffee? And I said, no, it's 100% not. And what can we do as a customer, right? We can stop buying from them. Oh, there's no place you can complain, or you can ask a refund or anything. It's just so sad, because in this case, we, as customer, we don't have any right or anything solutions for it. We can just say, oh, we're not going to buy coffee from you anymore. But for the whole coffee industry, actually, we interview a few coffee professionals and talk about the infused coffee in this industry. It's sad that it's not fair competition between those who use infused coffee and the who work hard on their organic or regular coffee, because they, yeah, it's just not fair.
I think the two things I want to mention, okay, let's just be very, very super objective. In our factory, if one of any selection team suspicious this coffee is infused, we want to buy it. Okay, even I don't have a right to stop them. But what I'm trying to see here, two things I would like to address. For example, in the competition, I don't think there's any problem with the judges or even competitors, because competitors would maybe truly believe that's like special processing. That's not infused coffee. I do believe some competitors probably did not. But the problem was, if there is no standard for identify is infused or not, how can we put into the rules and regulation? I think that's probably the big flaw, in my opinion. We need to fix that up. Because if we do not know how to test it, so we don't have solid evidence, if we don't have solid evidence, we have no right to suspicion. So this logical loop, that actually doesn't solve the problem. And the second part is, I think nowadays we really, really focus on the flavors. So in the past, the reason we like flavors because these flavors come from certain origin, from certain variety. But now, what if we can create flavors? Is flavor the most important criteria to evaluate a coffee? If we, as long as we put the flavors as most important criteria for evaluating coffee, we always end up confusing about infused coffee. That's my opinion. So, yeah, because now people don't care too much about tactile anymore, and people probably looking for sweetness probably in different ways. In my opinion, flavors is important, but if we address too much on that, we have put so many points on that category that actually somehow encourage people to artificially create flavors in any means. That's my opinion. Yeah.
As I said, it's a wide topic. It's a deep topic. It takes hours, weeks to talk about. But according to our understanding, in China, as far as I heard, some roastery or business owner, they told us that actually infused coffee are more popular because it's easier to identify the flavor. Like I said, flavor is important. I can taste this is tea, it's a oolong tea or some other flavor from their coffee. So people are willing to try especially coffee first. But what is the most popular flavor, let's say, flavor in China? What people like? What kind of coffee people like?
I have to say, whoever tried the infused coffee for the first time, they're all excited.
Yeah.
Because this flavor never is so good to be true, right?
It's not real.
I have to admit, I tried the infused coffee for the first time. I thought, wow, how can you do something like this? How can you get such flavors? But I realized, okay, I was too naive. It's not some special processing. It's just what added into it.
Yeah.
So I think it's taking time to realize what your real experience is. I think that's my opinion because I know a lot of consumers feel like cheated once they realize it's infused coffee. Even though maybe in the beginning, oh, I can taste the oolong tea, I can taste the peach. In the beginning, they can do that. But later on, they just realize, okay, I don't want to touch this anymore because I'm not sure I have health concern and I want something that's a real flavors. So in China, I think it takes time to go through all this learning process. And I knew some specialty coffee roasteries start to introduce specialty coffee. And they are quite a professional entity. But when people start to realize they lost a lot of business because they not just lost business, they lost a reputation. So I think for that, I think we need to wait and see. And I can't give you a right answer for now. But as far as I can see, consumers, they're going through for excited and suspicious and now angry. So some consumers went through that stage. So let's see. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I think we have too much negative opinions about infused coffee. I would say, let's make example as chips. You buy from a supermarket, you have like a barbecue flavor. You have like tomato, ketchup, or you have cheese flavor, right? There are artificial flavors there and people are okay with that. And some people love them more than original flavors. So I'm just thinking, if you hold these negative opinions about infused coffee, can we do something like in a different way? Let's say, hey, you don't have to enjoy real specialty coffee and pay a lot. You can just pay half or even less price than half, and you could get a really good cup of coffee that with good flavors. But I'm going to tell you, this is infused coffee. You can pay less, you can get the same quality. Do you think they can change people's opinion, also help business to voluntarily tag their coffee, infused coffee?
conceptually, yes, but in practice, probably not. Because it touched some technical issues. Because if it's infused coffee at the first place, and you claim that infused coffee is quite tricky to import this green coffee into China because it's not agriculture products. It's kind of like semi-processed products.
Oh.
They're not really sure where, okay, the two issues. One thing is they do not know how to tax on them. they do not know how to tax on them. The second thing is they cannot guarantee all these artificial flavors are going to be allergic to some people. So they won't take a responsibility if this infused coffee is allergic to some people are allergic to this infused coffee. So these two technical issues make them not willing to claim that's infused coffee.
Yeah, that's very specific.
Yeah. You never heard of people. I don't try to be all negative all the time, but I know, but it's just technical issue. It's very few people allergic to coffee, right? Maybe just can't sleep, but you're not really sure what if some certain infusion stuff can harm your health that they cannot guarantee.
Right. Mm. More regulations in the future if infused coffee could be a new thing.
Well, I can give a good example of infused coffee, which is whiskey barrel processed coffee. Mm-hmm. That actually was quite transparent. And some people knew that actually being stored, green coffee put into the whiskey barrel for a certain amount of time. And the way it tastes coffee, you got one taste or maybe whiskey flavors that is added artificially. But people, okay, they know that and accept it, and they enjoy this exotic flavors, and they're willing to pay for it. I think that's totally fine. But yeah, that's a good example for it. And I think it's quite widely popular in China. I think that's fine because that's transparent. It's tasty. It's interesting. Why not? Yeah.
It reminds me of some movies, since like you alcoholic in the morning, go to office, hold a cup of coffee. They want more drink, so just pour some whiskey more into their cup and mix it up, right? Bad for them.
Yeah, exactly.
As a regular traveler, business owner, you know coffee so well, your business in China, also international coffee community and the market, what is the most misunderstanding part of coffee in China? This stereotype of coffee in China.
I think most of the stereotype of coffee in China, I think in coffee industry, people start to realize, and we pick up quite quickly, not just for competition and also coffee products. I think but for normal people outside China, Australians still believe they make the best espresso. Italians think they make the best espresso. I think probably the stereotype is like we only drink tea, we just don't like coffee, and we don't have good baristas. Which is not true. People outside China believe there's no good coffee in China. There's no good coffee shop in China. I think that's probably a big misunderstanding. Maybe it's true in 10 or 15 years ago. That's true. It's difficult for you to find a good specialty coffee shop. But now I think it's relatively easier to find at least decent coffee in China. It's relatively easy. And I think baristas know what they do. And I think probably that's biggest misunderstanding.
I guess you guys can work on it, right? And since you're a roastery, you're famous, you're good. Maybe you have some plans going international later.
I think so. I think the first step is trying to help Jianing and I try to help other foreign baristas to compete. I think we can have some input in knowledge and to help them to do the competition. We also introduce some coffee professionals into the China to provide training. So we're trying to share the knowledge, like what we do in China, but now we started doing something similar internationally. So it's not a compete. This is not like competing who's better, but it just try to understand different people from different country, from different perspective, to just try to broaden our vision and try to learn from each other, try to understand why they choose something differently. It's a learning process. I still believe that's probably the matters most. It's not about like a pride as being Chinese. It's not a pride of being used to be the champion. So it's very dynamic. We need to keep learning. And because I think we're still scratch only on the surface about the coffee knowledge. But now probably is the best time. Now it's big integration now from roastery and a coffee shop. Now we try to understand as a big picture, as one piece now. Not like the 10 years ago, you're a roaster, you barista, baristas. So now you start to try to cross the supply chains to understand each step. And we try to mature this integration now. So yeah, that's pretty much what we really focus on. And I don't care what knowledge is from who, from your competitors, from outside China, from people who don't like you. But as long as the knowledge is valuable, we're willing to understand it.
You mentioned the Chinese barista Du Jianing, right?
Yeah.
Do you have close, you like a partner or she works for you, or what's the relationship you guys have
okay.
there?
Okay. She used to be the barista. I recruited her many, many years ago, and she's from Beijing. And it's quite rare for a girl from Beijing working in other cities. Somehow I kind of convinced her. And so at that beginning, she was really shy, but she is quite smart. And then she seems to pretty good in the competition. So she started from Barista Championship, then Barista Cup. And then I think she's doing quite well in Barista Cup and a little really quickly. And we also have some good coffee for her to compete with. So it's very long process. And I asked her one question. So back to 10 years ago, I tell you, okay, look, trust me, in 5 or 6 years, you'll be the world champion. What are you going to react? And she said, you are a liar. So you see, that's a process from being not so confident to be so determined. I didn't know she would be the champion. Now she used to be an employee, but now I just realized, and she's so responsible. She's so appreciated as a team. We help her quite a lot. She's like from an employee to the business partner. Yeah. She's responsible for the training school, also help us to develop products and selecting coffee. So that's how we change the relationship from employees to partner. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Cheers. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for tuning in to this I'm Not a Barista episode. Subscribe to this podcast and follow us on Instagram at I Am Not a Barista for more empowering vibes and true coffee stories that connect you with coffee lovers around the world. You're a part of our global community where we celebrate baristas and their craft in everything that we do.